If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, the third issue of the WrestleTalk magazine is now available. Head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information. We've got a great issue this month featuring our reviews of the Royal Rumble, Wrestle Kingdom 10 and Raw 25, including the WrestleTalk crew counting down their top 25 moments of Raw history. So head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, and I'm joined on this wonderful 500K day era by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation. Hello, 500K Swaft Nation, and the podcast Swaft Nation as well. And a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How was your weekend?
It was good. Do the podcast people know what happened over the weekend on Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. GMT?
The people who listen to this show but are not viewers of the YouTube channel, absolutely.
They exist.
They do exist. We passed 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, so we're quite proud of that achievement. So yeah, thumbs up all round, I suppose.
Yeah, very happy with that. You asked me how my weekend was. Great high on that. That was right at the start. Nothing really touched it after that, because are you familiar with some customs in hunter-gatherer tribes where the young males of the tribe will go off and, you know, make a kill and bring the kill back for the village?
Yeah, I'm aware. I believe it still happens in Newcastle.
Yes, but the village don't want the young hunter, to get too big for his station. So the custom is for the hunter to serve everyone in the village before himself from his kill, and he has the smallest piece of meat left over. It's a way to keep egos in check. So I am so thankful for my friends, where upon telling them that we passed 500,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel, they all got out their phones, went on to the most recent video, and all pressed the thumbs down.
Why?
Just to annoy me.
Just to be dicks about it.
Well, you know, you can't. It's how my friendship group operates, and I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
Yeah.
You've got to. No one's allowed to get big.
Too big for their own boots.
Yeah. So.
And you've just got new shoes coming in.
Exactly. If anyone else kind of, you know, because I did accidentally brag about it. Like it just came up in conversation, but maybe I did force it into conversation because I wanted to talk about it. So very rightfully, I was cut down immediately.
Cut down a size.
So yeah. But yeah, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Mother's Day, obviously on Sunday here in the UK. So myself and my brother travelled back to our hometown of Reading to surprise my mother. We had been colluding with some family friends. We got them to call my dad and say, "Hey, do you fancy going out for dinner on Saturday? We'll meet at the Allied Arms," which is a nice pub in Reading Town Centre. "We'll meet at the Allied Arms and then we'll go out for dinner after that." And my dad said, "Yeah, that sounds good." So him and my mum decided to go meet them at the Allied Arms. Me and my brother got there half an hour early because we knew my parents would be 20 minutes early. And lo and behold, they were. they walked up to the bar to order their drinks. We snuck up behind, and my brother just tapped them on the shoulder. Was like, "Mine's a Guinness." And my mother turned around and was like, "What are you doing here? How did you know we were going to be here?" And then we had to reveal that we had planned it all along.
Nice. That is sweet.
It was very sweet. My mother
were they disappointed?
Oh, well, I think my dad wanted to go out with his friends, but my mother got a little bit teary eyed. Because
mums do that.
So we then went out. Well, we struggled to find somewhere to go and eat because we hadn't booked a table. Because we didn't know what they wanted to have. So we couldn't have planned that because that would have given the game away. Much in the same way, I didn't even know if there was somewhere where I could stay. Because I just hoped that the spare room bed had still been set up because my parents are selling their house.
Wow.
Otherwise, I would have had to go home,
I
suppose.
This was a risk.
There was a lot of risks involved. Thankfully, the bed in the spare room is still up, so I was able to sleep on that. But we ended up going to a place. There's a new place opened up in Reading called the Honest Burger Company. And it's all...
Honest Burger are a chain, aren't they?
They are indeed, yes. Because there's one in Brixton, and I think there's one in Ealing as well. But it's all about, like, responsibly sourced meat and, you know...
They kill the cow in front of you.
Pretty much, yeah. Nice. Like, you go out into the slaughtering grounds and you watch them kill the cow.
It's like that time in Latvia when I went to the shooting range.
Yes, exactly like that, yeah. Pretty much. What they've done is they heard your podcast and then they just extrapolated that across an entire business model.
That is, yeah, that's going to sell burgers.
Exactly. You have to pick the buckshot out while you're eating it. Yeah, that sort of thing. And there was a... So for vegetarians, we got any vegetarian or vegan listeners who would be very impressed by this. If you are thinking about going to an Honest Burger place, which I recommend, they do something which I'm amazed more burger companies don't do, in which there's just one vegetarian option on the menu, which is a cauliflower steak, and it comes with sort of like a relish and this sort of stuff. And it sounds like it would be quite delicious, but it's just one option. However, they just say... But if you want any of the other burgers, we just replace the patty with the cauliflower steak. So you can actually have any of the burgers, but we just change the meat for the, excuse me, for the cauliflower steak.
Do the hot tag.
Yeah, do a hot tag. And my brother said that he encountered this in Germany and it was the best burger place he'd ever been to. He doesn't know why more places do this. Lo and behold, this place does. And it made me think, like, yeah, why don't more burger places do that? Because that seems like a very sensible thing to be able to do. It's a very easy thing to do as well.
Well, I hope you tweeted all the big burger chains.
Did.
And asked them.
At McDonald's.
Yeah.
At the...
Wait, Ronald.
At a gourmet burger... What are they called? GBK. Yeah, it's Kitchen, isn't it? Gourmet Burger Kitchen. And the Handmade
Byron.
Burger Company. Yeah, Byron's another one, yeah.
Not Saxton. It's a burger joint.
Maybe that's who Byron Saxton is. He's actually the owner and proprietor.
Maybe. I haven't followed up that line of inquiry.
No. Mm. So, did you do anything for your Mother's Day? Did you send your mother any flowers?
Yeah, I did that and a Prosecco-scented candle.
Nice. Very
that's
nice.
That's what she's into.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
that's
met...
That's what you're into.
We all met, me and my family, which is always stressful. We met them in London and we went to this place called Bunga Bunga.
Oh, yes! Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's save this because we should do this in the outro of the podcast.
Do you think?
Well, I don't know. But the way you... there's enough. There's like 5 minutes worth of material just explaining what Bunga Bunga is.
Well, it wasn't that one. It wasn't the immersive experience one. It was just a restaurant because there's a few branches of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, went there. And Bunga Bunga, of course, is made famous by... former Italian president Silvio Berlusconi, who would have Bunga Bunga parties, reportedly, allegedly, where all number of famous people and powerful people in Italy would go round his house to sleep with prostitutes.
And they turned it into a themed restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bunga Bunga concept was in existence before. He didn't coin Bunga Bunga.
No.
He merely adopted it. But yes, you could... my sister's boyfriend got a cocktail in the head of Silvio Berlusconi. That's one thing you could do. There's a Mario Balotelli cocktail from the head of that footballer.
Yep.
Other things, yeah. But it was just... It was fine once we started drinking. But, oh my God. Ordering an Uber with my family in central London.
You'd think that'd be quite easy to do.
You would. And when I did it on the way back, it happened fine. But this was a 15-minute walking around. Oh, my dad's like, come on, give me the phone. Yes, hello.
Oh, yeah. No, of course.
And then there was another bit where my dad just... I think my dad loves me and he always wants to talk to me, which I'm fine with. But he also likes annoying me. So he just, you know...
He also got his phone out and
he just immediately got into some deep political chat that he knew would rile me.
Yeah.
And he says it, and then he gets this grin on his face, and I just went, I don't know what you want me to say to that. It's annoying. And I just turn around and talk to someone else. Anyway, should we do some correspondence?
Yes, because we've had a couple of emails in. This first one from Jared Connister, or Connett, sir, I would say.
Yeah.
So we know
Jared.
We do. He's a Patreon backer. He emailed in response to the gimmick. Remember that someone put the "you made the list" thing for cleaning
yes.
What was it called? The Froom Hood?
Yeah, it was a chemistry thing where you keep all the toxic gases involved.
That's correct,
in the same place.
So he's emailed in to say, some folk may not consider it a wrestling gimmick, but I like the concept of wrestling gimmicks with the source. Was the source of my idea for this. I started on a new job in January, and I have 5 shirts with the company logo in 3 colours. I decided to wear the same colour shirt on the same day of the week each until someone notices. Monday and Fridays are green shirts, Tuesday and Thursdays are grey, and Wednesdays are black. Only my wife knew of the gimmick until now.
Yes, this isn't so. When we originally talked about this was like things in wrestling that you kind of adopt for your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jared's done here is he's invented one of the lamest gimmicks, like cat characters for a wrestling promotion ever.
Yeah.
Well, is that the only thing? Like, he's got no frills, no promo. He just wears consistent clothing.
But say, for example, if we were watching Finn Balor matches, because Finn Balor every now and again changes up the colour of his pants.
He does. He was blue.
He was
Finn Bluer.
He was Finn Bluer quite recently. And he's been Finn Rouger as well
yes.
at some points. So imagine if Finn had, say, like on week 1 of a month, he would wear black trunks, and then week 2 would wear blue, and then week 3 would wear rouge,
oh,
and then
God.
Week 3 maybe wear his grey ones that we saw that one time. But he always did that in the hope that someone might notice. How long do you think it would take for one of us to notice that?
A long time.
It would be a long
for
time.
For one of us, for it to be pointed out to us immediately.
Yeah.
That would happen immediately because the internet is an amazing place where everyone is on top of this kind of stuff.
If someone was like, has anyone ever noticed?
I if you wore the same t-shirt all the time, people would notice.
If I wore the same, I mean,
I'm replying to Jared here.
I was gonna say, I mean, you wear the same t-shirts all the time, but people always notice that.
Yeah,
you've got the Spider-Man one. I am Groot.
I haven't worn those in ages.
Now it's your Puro Wrestle one.
Yes, that's in the rotation.
Jumping the Smark has written. Now, I'm not going to read out Jumping the Smark's full email because at the end of it, it's basically just plugging his Twitter and YouTube channel.
Sure.
So, nice try, Jumping the Smark, because his email headline was, please read this out on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jumping the Smark says, hello, I'm a loyal WrestleTalk supporter since day one-ish. I love your insight and your rambling makes me happy. You genuinely seem like great guys and good friends just casually talking about wrestling, and I don't get that anywhere else. You guys also have been a beacon to where I should watch wrestling next. You said Keith Lee was great, so I went to Reseda and watched Keith Lee live.
Oh, great.
Ollie loves ROH, so I have started consistently watching ROH TV, plus some of the old stuff. You guys have amplified and increased my level of wrestling so much. So thank you very much for your email,
That's
Jumping the Smark. If you do want to find him on Twitter or on YouTube, the clue's in the name.
Sure.
And finally...
It's a good name.
It is a great name. I wish I'd thought of it myself, I'll be honest. And finally...
You have just... upped the volume on your laptop. What's happening here?
Yeah, well, listeners, I have actually brought my laptop into the recording booth, which doesn't happen a lot. It only really happens when we do Wrestle Ramble Extra. But we had an email in from Ted Pajak. Pajak, would you say?
Pajak. Pajak. It could be. I mean, that's how Dijak spells his name.
Yes. So let's go with Pajak. Is that what you said?
I don't know.
Anyway, I too understand the pure enjoyment from the new adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
And I too also watched this so much as a kid. I had to make a theme song for the Wrestle Ramble. Would love to hear your thoughts on the show. Don't worry, you can play it on the show. My singing is awful,
great.
But I had a blast making it. So I've got the song here. I've downloaded it. I haven't listened to this yet.
Wow.
So this could,
oh my God.
So this could be great. Or it could be very bad. We're about to find out.
And as you know, we hold really good singing in very high regard here.
Absolutely.
Based on our own output.
So I am going to edit this in now so you don't have to listen to like the tinny sound effect of my laptop speakers going through a microphone. I'll actually put this in so it's nicely for you. But here is Ted Pajak's Winnie the Pooh inspired Wrestle Ramble theme song.
Wrestle the Wrestle Ramble. It's Ollie Davis and Luke Owen. Wrestle the Wrestle Ramble. It's Ollie and Luke. Go like and comment on iTunes.
Yes. What are you talking about, Ted? That is a beautiful voice.
That's a beautiful voice with a wonderful melody as well.
Serenading.
Oh, that is going to be... That's not only going to be stuck in my head.
Wait. Play it. Well, I've already forgotten how the Wrestle Ramble is structured.
Ramble. It's Wrestle Ramble.
It's Ollie and Luke. Oh, is
Ollie Davis and Luke Owen.
There are liberties taken with syllable counts here. So this is not iambic pentameter.
So if you've got any theme songs that are based around cartoons from the 1990s, because I bloody love the 90s, why don't you send them across? Maybe you might want to do the Wrestle Ramble with the Animaniacs theme song.
Which is Wrestle Ramble. How would you stretch it out?
It's time for Wrestle Ramble. I couldn't make that up on the spot.
It's Wrestle Ramble time.
Or maybe Bucky O'Hare. Who knows? Like, oh, there's so
How
many.
How did Bucky O'Hare? I used to love Bucky O'Hare.
It's like Bucky, Captain Bucky O'Hare. He goes where no ordinary rabbit would dare. Oh, I bloody love the 90s, especially theme songs. Anyway.
You?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. Yeah. I mean, I keep it hidden.
No.
Yeah. But, I mean, I do have a playlist on my iTunes that is just 90s. Cartoon theme song intros.
It is not uncommon, listeners, for me to look over from what I'm doing to see, I wonder what Luke's up to right now. And he will be staring entranced at a screen with a stage of about 8 musicians all dressed up as Transformers playing songs based on 90s TV show intros.
Yes, that is absolutely right. Yes, yeah. They are the Cybertronic Spree, and they are amazing. They're very, very good.
Let's get... I mean, people tune into this to hear about Fastlane. Yeah. And they've just had to sit through this. Although, you know, the Winnie the Pooh intro was well worth it, but everything that we've contributed to this intro has been... pants.
It has been pretty pants, yeah.
But Fastlane wasn't. Let's find out why. We're going to kick off with that main event of AJ Styles versus John Cena versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler, kind of versus Shane McMahon, kind of versus the fantastic Columbus, Ohio crowd. Weren't they fantastic?
I thought they were dead for a few matches, but I think that the people worked very hard to turn... But I would say that I don't blame the crowd for that. They've been given no reason to be loud for those matches. But credit to Bobby Roode and Randy Orton for turning the crowd around, and Charlotte and Ruby Riott for turning the crowd around as well. Like when the crowd wasn't into it, the wrestlers themselves managed to get the crowd into it. So really credit to them, and I enjoyed the crowd.
Well, I think the crowd... I really do think the crowd made a lot of matches better here. It wasn't just the action, but they were there to have a good time. So I really enjoyed this main event.
I enjoyed it too, but it's very difficult to not enjoy a match where 6 guys are just doing absolute carnage around the ring. Like, you know, it's the same as the match on Tuesday SmackDown when you had the Fatal 5-Way. It's hard.
That was only 5 guys.
Well, what I was going to say
was... This is better because there's 6.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I really enjoyed that SmackDown main event because it's difficult not to enjoy a match like that when there is just utter carnage everywhere and there's just a lot of guys doing a lot of stuff and it just seems like good fun to watch. You had a superstar, like a genuine star like John Cena in there, obviously missing from Tuesday because he's too big to work Tuesdays. Then you get an absolutely corker of a match. I really enjoyed the main event.
Well, let's talk about one of my favourite moments of the match first, and then we'll do a full rundown of this match and then the rest of the card, is when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens start to implode. So earlier in the night, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are backstage in the locker room area, and Sammy's like, "Oh, how's it going, man?" And Kevin Owens is like, "Dude, you super kicked me. You gave me a haluva kick and pinned me on the go-home show." He didn't say those exact words. On Tuesday. And Sami was like, "Oh, yeah, that was Tuesday. But tonight, I'm laying down for you."
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens is like, "Whatever, man. I'm not getting sucked into this again." So in the match, you get to the bit where it's just Owens and Zayn in the ring. Zayn lays down. And Owens is like, "I don't know whether to trust him, because of course if you go down to pin him, he could easily roll you up." And Owens did what he should have done, in my opinion, and that's try and pop up powerbomb. You know, he started to lift Sami Zayn up to attack him, and then Sami got him into a cradle. So there's that element of doubt there now.
Yes.
Or maybe Sammy was going to lay down for his best friend.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I thought the spot was going to be that Kevin was then going to try and pin Sammy, and that's when Shane breaks up the pinfall or drags the referee out or drags Owens out. But that's actually what we didn't get. As you said, Owens tried to pick Zayn up, and then the pair of them just started brawling around ringside, and eventually Kevin super kicked Shane McMahon, who was just sat at ringside. I mean, didn't really have a reason to be there other than
it's Shane McMahon.
Other than
what
to be super
Ohio.
Kicked. To get super kicked by someone, I guess. And he can't do that when he's backstage. So he got super kicked by Owens, and then Owens powerbombed Ziggler.
It was someone. Was it Corbin? I can't remember. I think, it was someone. I think let's go with Ziggler.
I think it was Ziggler, and he had the match won, but Shane then pulled the referee out.
I honestly didn't see that coming. You know, I'm an idiot sometimes, and I just get sucked up in the moment, and which is, you know, what good wrestling should do. You shouldn't really be thinking, oh, but they've got to get towards the WrestleMania plans in 4 weeks' time. You should be, I don't know what's going to happen next. This is chaotic. And it was such a fun match with so many fun little spots and brawls into the crowd and announcers' table bumps and stories that you're invested in unfolding. That when Owens hit that on whoever it was, Ziggler.
I think it was Ziggler.
I genuinely was like, oh my God, Owens is going to win.
Yeah.
In that moment, I thought Owens was going to win. The referee's hand was coming down. It's his finisher. And I completely forgot about Shane McMahon. So when Shane McMahon pulled out the referee, I was like, oh my God. Great spot. Great booking. And then, yeah, you were going to go on to say.
And then Sammy hits Kevin with the halufa kick. As Kevin stands up and starts arguing with Shane. Sammy hits the halufa kick, goes to pin Kevin. And then Shane drags. And he had the match won as well. And then Shane drags Sammy out. And then they have the argument. And the key to this is right at the end of the match, when AJ is celebrating because he retained his championship, both Sammy and Kevin are sort of sat at ringside just looking dejected because they haven't won the WWE Championship. And Shane just walks past and looks at both of them and then walks on, you know, back on towards the back. So you've got to wonder now, are Sammy and Kevin going to put aside whatever differences they may have had for the last couple of weeks to, you know, reunite the Yep movement and go against Shane McMahon, who did screw both of them out of winning the WWE Championship. But Corey Graves quite rightly was saying, like, yeah, Shane has overstepped his mark here. He shouldn't be interfering. And he shouldn't have interfered. He was being a dick, basically, by not letting them win. So it should be an interesting thing. But as I said in the Fastlane review, hopefully this will lead to a WrestleMania match and we can put this feud behind us and all move on with our lives.
Because Shane was, you know, there was an accident that he got kicked.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he went in, you know, Shane is such a heel here. And it's quite clear to me, and I guess to you, and I'm pretty sure to everyone watching, Shane is either a heel or a Shades of Grey character. He's nowhere close to a babyface. But I think WWE thinks he's a babyface.
I did a video about this very topic saying that WWE think that he's the babyface, but we, as the audience, are like, no, I'm pretty sure that he's the heel.
Was it last Tuesday or the Tuesday before when he's just obnoxiously walking around backstage with the popcorn?
Yeah.
Saying, nope, you're out of here. You've got this thing to do. You're a heel, cocky son of the COO of the company's.
Oh, yeah, it was not the COO, that's Triple H. The owner. So, yeah, I thought this was a really, really decent main event, and I really liked that spot. But I think what kind of struck me about the match was that everyone got their moment to shine.
They got their S-word in.
Except for Dolph Ziggler. Like, Dolph was just a complete non-factor in this match. Like, Corbin looked great. Like, Corbin had his moment where he was, like, running wild with his steps. He was choke-slamming people. He was just, you know, when he hits that deep six on AJ.
It was amazing.
It's my favourite person in the world for him to hit deep six on, because it just spins around. Like, the earth turns backwards. He spins around that fast. And, like, he was just hitting all of his big moves on people. He looked awesome while doing it. But Dolph in this match did absolutely nout.
He went through the protective plastic area. That was cool. But that was from Corbin.
Yeah.
Corbin got more of a heat thing than Ziggler did.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's baffling. And I think for everyone who was like, oh, Dolph's back. Dolph signed this reported $1.5 million contract, which might not be real. Like, you know, that was not from an authoritative source. maybe WWE are finally going to get behind him again. Not by the booking of this match. No, he was the lowest featured person in here.
And then there were stories over the weekend that the WrestleMania 34 match was going to be Dolph versus Shane. Mm. And that was going to be built up in this match because Dolph's promo on, I think it was on Tuesday. It was on Tuesday where he said, I've never had a singles match at WrestleMania in the 13 years that I've been with WWE. I've never had a singles match at WrestleMania. So there was a story that he was going to get his singles match at WrestleMania and it was going to be Dolph versus Shane. But this match very much suggests that it's the Shane, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tournament, which I'm really happy about. I'm so glad because that Shane versus Dolph would have just come out of nowhere. It would have felt like a really thrown together match just to get Dolph on the card. Because the story has been since October, Shane versus the Yep movement. Mm. So to then just kind of like stop that and do something else for WrestleMania would have been very baffling. So I'm glad they're going in this direction.
Yeah, while it's been drawn out for so long, way too longer than it should have been, with very slow progression at points. Please pay it off. Please pay off this weird McMahon, Daniel Bryan, Yet movement thing. So, what do you think they are building towards here? I forgot, because you did mention that final shot of Shane McMahon walking. We give a lot of flack to Kevin Dunn and whatnot for the many cuts a second WWE filming style. I thought the direction and the staging in these last moments after the match were superb. You had that shot because Zayn and Owens, one was by the ring apron, the other one was by the barricade. They both look across from each other, looking at each other. Shane's in the middle, WrestleMania sign in the background. It didn't look staged, but it was very staged and very well done. But then in the ring with John Cena and AJ Styles.
Yes.
And the camera goes up to this deflated John Cena in the corner. And it gets right up into his face and just pushes it away.
Yeah.
Into the direction of AJ Styles, who's celebrating. And he looks over at John. I just thought, so many bits being told there visually.
And that's what I mean. Like, in terms of this match, in terms it's setting up storylines for WrestleMania. It's set up AJ retaining so he can face Shinsuke Nakamura, the dream match, which they kept putting over on commentary. It's the dream match we've all been waiting for. You had Kevin and Sammy and Shane McMahon, and they were putting that over on commentary. And then you had John Cena losing his WrestleMania momentum. He hasn't had any momentum, but this was his last chance to get a WrestleMania match. And he's there deflated, and he's pushing the camera away. And Baron Corbin had his like destruction scene where he was kind of like throwing Dolph into the protective area, running wild and everyone. And so he got his moment, but Dolph just got absolutely knouted. Like, he really was a sixth wheel in this match. And it really surprised me in how little he had in this match, considering that everyone else got something.
Yeah, well, Shane McMahon
got more.
He got more, yeah. When he came out at the start, I thought, oh god, he's added himself in as well. So where do you think Sami Zayn, McMahon and Kevin Owens are going?
Well, I was assumed it was going to be a tag match. I thought they were going to build towards, should he be able to, Shane and Brian versus Kevin and Sammy. But if Brian can't get cleared, which is most likely he won't be able to, it will be Shane and a partner versus Kevin and Sammy. Maybe that could be Dolph. And then maybe you have Brian in there as a guest referee, which is much better than, because there was a rumor, I think it was from the Wrestling Observer, that said that Kevin and Sammy were going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah, those were the current plans, according to the Observer.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem to be the case going by this.
God, Lord, I hope not, yeah.
Did you see Owens' tweet over the weekend?
Yeah.
He tweeted out a picture, a screen grab from a Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal from years past, and just tweeted with the caption, "Tape study." So I think that Owens playing with the dirt sheets.
I'd say
I think a Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon three-way could be quite nice. I can't remember where, this isn't my idea. I saw this somewhere else. Can't remember where, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd give those people credit. With Daniel Bryan as a special guest referee.
Yeah, I was going to say you could insert Bryan in there as a guest referee, even if you do the tag match. Say you had like Shane and a partner, which I always thought it was going to be Randy. I thought they were going to do Shane and Randy versus Kevin and Sammy, but Randy's now the US champ and is clearly going into a three-way with him, Bobbles, and Jinder. So, yeah, I mean, a tag match, maybe a three-way, that would be the third three-way, no, be the fourth three-way on the card.
Fourth three-way.
Yeah.
Well, for now, who knows who's
going
to get added to the other matches.
Yeah.
So let's quickly run through that match as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
What a lovely opening sequence after Shane McMahon comes out. So you've got all these six men. It looked crammed in there. And It starts with Cena hitting AAs on everyone. Each guy runs up to them. Yes, it made them look stupid, but it was great, I thought. But the last person to run up was AJ, and he stopped. And Cena and Styles, who really have had a great rivalry and a history of matches behind them, I thought that was a really nice moment, the way they structured that.
Yeah, really nice one, especially because it also paid off later on when Cena and Styles had their little tete-a-tete and they had some, like, you know, some moves between each other. Then everyone got back into the ring and
Shield style on the apron.
Yeah, and surrounded John Cena. And all of a sudden, Cena was just like, "Rut-row, like, I'm gonna get my ass kicked here." And lo and behold, he did. All five guys just ganged up on him and beat him down. I thought that was a really nice spot.
Mm. And the crowd was so hot throughout. It was,
yeah.
Of course, you got Shane McMahon out there, but it was almost like an 8-man match with the crowd involved.
I mean,
well,
I've written here, this is wild and crazy action, it's impossible to take notes.
That's it.
It really was hard to take notes.
I gave up writing the spots down after a while. It was like everyone was always coming off a hot tag.
Yeah.
It was a 6-tag match.
Yep.
And because you'd have someone run wild and do a load of their finishes, then it was someone else's turn. So, I mean, yeah, it was great action, really fast-paced.
It's crazy to think this match only went about 20 minutes, but it felt like it went so much longer because they crammed so much into those 20 minutes.
But it also flew by.
Yeah,
which
really
is,
did.
Which is like, I think that's the perfect thing, you know, when something feels very substantial, but it goes, you completely forget you exist and you're just watching this match.
Mm-hmm.
Styles clash on Cena. Great near fall from when Sami Zayn broke that up, I thought. And that's when Baron Corbin goes after Ziggler. Owens gets AJ on the commentator's table. He's cleared both commentator's tables, though. And I thought, Owens is going through something. But it wasn't Owens. It was Cena putting AJ through the other table with an AA. I mean, what would you call
it? Because it's an AA.
But he doesn't go down with them. I always thought some of the force of the AA is Cena's arm coming down with them. But this was just a lob.
Yeah.
It was a human lob.
It's an AA through a table.
Yeah.
That's what I'd have said. I think that's what I put in my notes.
And that's when Sammy and KO started going up against each other. And when they started warring, the crowd really got behind it. It was a good visual, but I was just a bit like, why?
Well, this is it. And we said this on Wednesday's show. Can you imagine putting these two together on SmackDown and then 5 months later being like, nah, we're done with this now. Like, this team had so many more months together. Like, we were, you know, saying they could have been tag champs. You could have done loads of them for over the year. You could have put them together for a year, 18 months, maybe even towards 2 years before you do their big blow-off match again. But, like, it just seems weird to kind of, like, rush it now. And I think that's why I'm not into this feud as much, is because I didn't want them to have this moment now. Yeah. I wanted to have this moment much further down the line. So, yeah, but it was, you know, the crowd were into it.
I'm completely with you there. It's the eternal feud is a great concept, and I want them to feud again in the future. But like you said, not now.
Yeah.
Now's when you build them up as an act together. So when they do break up, it feels like a bigger thing. But now you've spunked that. So what are you going to do? Then it has the Sammy and Shane and Owens triangle. And then we had... it was on Ziggler. You're right, my Kevin Owens pop-up powerbomb on Dolph. But then Corbin brings the steel steps in. So, unsung hero of Fastlane, the steel steps.
Yep. Not only did they get under the ropes perfectly fine.
Yep.
But they, they laid out poor old Xavier Woods.
Brutal.
Talk about that.
It looked like he was glitching when he was selling.
Don't even talk about it, but we'll talk about it a bit later on.
And then Cena gives Corbin an AA on the steps. Ziggler breaks up that pin. Owens gives Cena a pop-up powerbomb, but it's AJ coming over with the phenomenal forearm on Owens, because you haven't seen AJ for a bit. He was put through the table for the win. And then they at the end, they put up eight. That's confirmed. It's AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. And we knew that was going to happen, but there was enough dramatic intrigue.
Did we?
Yeah, well,
there were a lot of people who thought it was going to be the three-way.
But when I saw that graphic, I was like, damn, that feels good.
That's a much better choice. And, like, I completely agree. It was like a damn, that feels good moment. Just one other spot I wanted to mention that I thought was really cool in this match. I think Dolph hit a DDT. And as he hit the ground, Owens came off with the bullfrog splash. And it was just like a lot of the stuff was just so well timed in here. Didn't look rehearsed, didn't look choreographed. It just looked really natural. And yeah, it was just a really great spot.
And if anyone is interested, I don't know why you would be, I gave it 4.25 stars on the douchebag scale.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to our monthly Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review pay-per-views from wrestling's past as voted for by Patreon backers. Last month, it was the terrific No Way Out 2004, and if you pledge, you'll be able to hear our back catalogue of episodes, including Wrestle Kingdom 10, Halloween Havoc 1998, and Armageddon 2000, to name but a few. The poll for this month's episode is now open, and it's WrestleMania heavy, including Manias 3, 9, 14, 25, 26, and 27, as well as WCW's final pay-per-view Greed, Progress Chapter 1, and ROH's 11th anniversary show. The poll closes this weekend, so head over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the pre-show kicked off with Breezango and Ty Dillinger. There he is. We were wondering where he got to. Beating Mojo Rawley and American Beta.
Yep. It was as good as you would expect a random six-man tag on a pre-show to be.
It was started off with a bit of comedy wrestling. Ty Dillinger gave Fandango a wrestling headgear because Chad Gable was like, come on, wrestle me properly. And then Chad Gable actually got on all fours, so someone had a free shot, and Tyler Breeze just sat on him and rode him like a horse. That was all fun. Crowd, you can't wrestle. Chance to Mojo Rawley, and the crowd was so into it. 10 chance for Ty's hot tag. It was sloppy. There was a few botches. Chad couldn't do the rolling German suplex as nicely as he usually does. But Ty won by beating Mojo. I don't get that. I don't know why you wouldn't put Mojo over. I feel like he's got the most.
It's not like he has momentum.
Yeah. Just out of all those teams, Mojo Rawley and American Beta are the hotter act with more stuff behind them than Breezango and Ty Dillinger. So
maybe.
But it's a pre-show match. Who cares?
Exactly.
But the main card...
It's like mixed match challenge. It's non-canon.
Yeah, the main card kicked off with Shinsuke Nakamura beating Rusev.
Well, I thought the show really started off with that video package that made the build to Fastlane look much better than it actually was. Mm. The build, like, the video package, I was like, man, this is going to be a good show.
Yeah. Like, WWE can make a great video package.
Can't they just? Yeah. Really, really great stuff. But I actually quite enjoyed this as a little fun little opener. I thought that both guys worked really well. Aiden is back to singing, but he did a rap at the start as well, which was quite funny. Mm. Back to the singing gimmick. They're steel heels. That's very silly. But I thought, actually, as a match, it was really good. And I thought, do you know what? I was really impressed with, and this sounds ridiculous to say, really impressed with Rusev in this match, because Rusev is awesome. But his selling in the match was so good. Like, selling,
I was going to say the same thing.
Selling of the heel hook, yeah, that Shinsuke Omori was like limping, but then when he had him in the front face lock and then he was trying to catch his breath back, I just thought it was some really great stuff in there.
Yeah, that choke, and he really got across. But I much preferred the selling of the left knee, because he wasn't selling like, oh no, I'm in peril, look at me. Because, like we've said this before, why would you sell like that in a fight? Because you're saying, please, opponent, attack this area that is wounded. But Rusev was kind of selling in a way that he was trying to hide that he was injured, you know, just shaking off his left knee. That's the New Japan way of selling as well. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. But later on, he then did his stomping gimmick on that leg. Like, yeah. Why would you... You did such good work. Why doesn't... Did that kick just... You know, the injury just go away?
He just walked it off, mate.
Yeah.
So well, that's, sometimes...
It's the fire, the adrenaline.
There are these injuries that you get that you tweak your knee a little bit. Like, footballers get this a lot. You tweak your knees, like, just run it off, mate. Yeah. Just run it off, you'll be fine.
Football, sports.
That's why I used to get told in PE all the time, but I was faking because I was trying to get out of actually playing football.
It still hurts, sir.
Yes, oh, it hurts, sir. I can't run, mate. It. Oh, and I forgot my kit. Mm.
Do it in your pants.
Yeah, I used to get that a lot. Yeah.
It's a bit weird. I don't think you can do that these days.
No, I think times have probably changed. Probably for the better.
Yes. My favourite spot of the match, though, was near the end, Nakamura runs in for the Kinshasa. Rusev clocks him with a Machka kick.
So cool.
That was great.
That was great. So and a really good near fall, actually. The crowd really bought into that near fall.
The crowd, again, were really hot for this. It was just a really... I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Fun opener. 3.25 stars on the douchebag rating scale. You're not going to give stars?
No, that's only for Ramble Club. Wow. When I sort of half-ass it and don't really give scores.
When you make it up on the spot, you go, I guess it was... 4.
And then you say, why is it 4? I go, I don't know. I've changed my mind. 3.5.
3.5. And we both correctly predicted this for a Nakamura win. But something Luke didn't predict.
No, I should... really, the big lesson, the big takeaway from this, and you and I were texting about this morning, the way to predict WWE shows in the future is just to half-ass it. Mm. Because you got a clean sweep across everything here, and you couldn't have given two tosses about the show.
Yes.
That's the way you do it, mate.
Well, I was sort of like, I don't care, this is too predictable, so I'm going to put in a few things that I think WWE would do if they thought, oh, this card's too predictable. Title change. That one there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the clean sweeped it. And didn't we clean sweep Elimination Chamber?
I clean sweeped Elimination Chamber and the Rumble.
And the Rumble. And I clean sweeped Clash of Champions.
Yeah. Oh, mate, look at us go.
Pretty good. I mean, you don't know who to go with, but between us...
Mate, we're pretty good at our jobs.
Yeah, but is this part of our job? We don't get bonuses, unfortunately. On how we are.
If you introduced it getting a bonus for this, I might try harder.
So just do it better.
Just do it better, yeah.
So, yes, this was Randy Orton beating Bobby Roode for the WWE United States Championship.
Another great video package.
This makes Orton a Grand Slam winner.
Certainly does, yeah. Randy won the US Championship, the championship that has eluded him, as they kept saying, rather than, like, the championship he's never gone for. I'm pretty sure this might be, like, one of the first times he's ever really challenged for the
US. He said that on Talking Smack.
He was really?
Like, well, I've never had the opportunity. And WWE's all about opportunities.
Of course it is.
And then he talked about how much he enjoyed John Cena crying at Elimination Chamber.
I haven't watched Talking Smack yet, but when I saw that Randall was on it, I was like, oh, I might watch that, because it would just be Twitter troll Randy Orton just off script being a dick.
Great value. I mean, it's a shame Daniel Bryan wasn't at this show, because Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack with Randy Orton.
Who was he with? Rosenberg?
Sam. And I like, you know, I've forgotten his last name.
Roberts.
Sam Roberts. Because I really like his podcast. But And he must be so excited to be there and doing this with WWE. And he's a professional, so he's just like putting on the professional thing. But I'm looking at it and I'm just thinking, man, what are you doing? You're shilling now.
Him,
like you.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, such a WWE shill, man.
Such a shill.
Yeah, like I liked this show as well. Mm. Such a shill for WWE at the moment.
It was like Renee Young was really natural in only the way Renee Young can be.
God bless
Randy
her.
Orton is shooting everywhere. He even talked about everyone's pointing at the sign at the moment, aren't they? It's just he didn't care. And then that was awesome. The worst bit about this segment was Sam Roberts then going, yeah, but man, Jinder's got your number. I was like,
and also, no he doesn't.
Well, he does apparently.
Why
is that?
Because
he beat him so much last year.
Oh. Yeah, but then Randy beat him clean on TV when the title wasn't on the line.
It doesn't matter, really, does it? No. But the actual match, which was plodding, I think that's the best way to sum up my feelings.
I actually really liked it.
Oh, did you?
I really, really enjoyed this match. I thought that it was they're kind of sort of like feeling each other out, so to speak, at the start of the match, sort of both going for finishes and this and the other. And like, I really, really got into this match. And the crowd were dead at the start of this match, as you said, because it was quite plodding. But I would not use the word plodding. I would use the word methodical, which is another word for plodding.
Yeah.
And but then the crowd kind of like reflected that. But by the end, the match started, I thought it was really good. The crowd really got into it. And it's very rare that I enjoy Randy Orton matches, but I really enjoyed this one.
I think their styles are a bit too similar.
Because it's Triple H versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't really, it didn't grab me. I tell you what I did like. I felt like the US title being on the line gave it a dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Like this wouldn't have worked if it was just a thrown together match or a blood feud. I thought the gold being there worked. But yeah, overall, it could have gone longer. Maybe I would have got into it more if it had another 5 minutes.
It couldn't have gone longer because we had video packages to do for Ronda Rousey and Roman Reigns.
and also like Bobby Roode, why are you diving off the second rope head forward?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
offense in a match against Randy Orton.
Because he does the blockbuster in matches, which is what he was going for. But like if he was going for a blockbuster there, it's the worst blockbuster he's ever going to do because you need to flip over to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And going forward is not the way to do that.
It's like a diving plank. Yeah,
and he was a plank to go for it.
Anyway, RKO from out of nowhere, and then Randy wins the US title for the first time in his career. Jinder Mahal, who was shown watching backstage earlier on, were at a ridiculous angle, as always.
I was going to say, the poor Singh brother was watching his back watching the screen.
Jinder runs down, beats up Orton afterwards, but Roode makes a save, delivers glorious DDTs to both men. I mean, maybe I'm reaching here. Bobby Roode looked angry.
This felt to me like a tease of a heel turn.
Mm.
And it can't come soon enough.
Yes.
Because he was annoyed that he had lost the championship. And it was the maliciousness that he attacked Randy Orton. Because he attacked Jinder, which is fair enough, because Jinder's come down for no reason to beat up Orton like a complete knob. But then Bobby, out of nowhere, just gives Orton the DDT for no reason, which is a heel move.
And he just looked angry on his face
afterwards.
He wasn't... You know, I did, because usually he would do that after losing the title and then just pose glorious with the light and everything. But I think I'm reaching, though. I think tomorrow he'll be normal. Yeah, Tuesday he'll be not, which is tomorrow.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
I'm Luke. I know when days are. No, you don't, mate.
Kinda, it's because I don't come in on a Monday.
Yeah.
My days are all to cock. I don't know where I am.
And I think on Tuesday, tomorrow, it's just going to be Jinder, Randy, and Bobby, and all their characters are going to be the same, but it's now a three-way.
I disagree. I think we're going to see... Perhaps I'm reaching here. That I think we're going to see more heelish tendencies for Bobbles before we actually get to Randy... before we get to WrestleMania, where he will be a full-blown heel.
I gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I think that...
And you got that wrong and I got it right, to reiterate.
I think with a hotter feud, with a better storyline, that this match would have been even better. Mm.
Next up, a Ronda Rousey video package. Haven't seen one of those for a while. Then we had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn backstage. We talked about that earlier. It's when Kevin Owens stormed off because Sami said he was going to lay down for him tonight. Then we got another match that this guy correctly predicted. Natalya and Carmella beating Becky Lynch and Naomi in a thrown-together match that I actually missed the announcement for.
It was so funny. When Carmella pinned Becky Lynch, I was like, oh, of course she did, because Becky tapped her out on Tuesday. How did I not see that coming?
Do you want to make
50-50 booking? That's how people get over.
Do you want to make your joke that you missed out?
I missed this out in the review because I'm an idiot and I was clearly in a rush when I wrote it. Well, not that much. I'd take some care. But Becky Lynch wrestled in her Seth Rollins cosplay. Whoa! Back of the net. Lovely stuff. Also, I've actually got an update on Tamina. Because you and I were talking about Tamina on...
Please tell me.
The prediction show. We had a lot of people come back to let us know what has happened to Tamina. Thank you very much for all your correspondence. I've had emails, tweets. We had a lot of comments about it. She's currently in space. She and Lana are on a five-year mission. They've gone to find a new renewable fuel source.
Great.
Problem is because
it's the best use of her.
Problem is because she's traveling so far, so fast at the speed of light. Well, she won't have aged a day, but we'll all be dead by the time she gets back.
Oh wow!
So yeah, that's the latest Tamina update. Thank you for everyone who let us know.
Yeah, everyone let us know about that. It was crazy, wasn't it? YouTube comments in space, Twitter space, our email addresses, luke@wrestletalk.com. She's in space.
She's in space, mate. It was good. It's good to know.
Don't know how.
No.
So, this match, I actually thought was fine, wasn't it?
It was the worst match on the card.
Yeah, this was fine.
This was a
fine match.
It was fine, but man, like they were blowing spots left, right, and centre towards the end. So what happened was that like Becky went to throw Natalya out the ring, but then realised she was going to throw her out the wrong side. So then changed her mind because she needed to throw her out on the other side because that's where the Money in the Bank briefcase was, which they needed for the finish. So she went to throw and then she was like, oh no, I need to throw on the other side. And then it took them, I don't know, 10-15 minutes to work out that they were going the wrong side. And eventually they got thrown out. And then they threw the timing off a little bit, which is a bit of a shame. But it's the match was fine.
I don't know why they needed the briefcase. Because, so Carmella and Becky Lynch are in the ring. Natalya jumps, is thrown out, and she comes back on the ring apron with the briefcase. Carmella's like, what are you doing?
She's going to hit her with it.
Yeah, but then she doesn't use it, and Carmella just hits her, what did she hit?
Super kick.
It was a super kick for the win. So she didn't need the briefcase.
No.
She didn't use the briefcase.
No.
The referee's back was turned. They're both heels. Where was the heat? Like, what's the point of that spot?
Oh, there was no point to that spot.
There was intention of cheating, but Carmella didn't use it. So does that mean she's a baby face? It's bad booking.
It's a distraction finish.
But it wasn't a distraction.
But it was
finish.
Because Becky was distracted by Natalya up on the ring apron with the Money in the Bank
briefcase. If anything, Carmella was distracted.
No, Becky was the one distracted because then she turned around and got a boot to the face.
I didn't like the finish. I thought the action in the match was fine, though.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a TV match on pay-per-view that you paid for.
I mean, a lot of this was like a really good episode of SmackDown.
Oh, I disagree with that. I only felt this match was the one that felt like it belonged on TV. Maybe the six-man tag on the pre-show, but then that doesn't really count.
Okay, so I got that right in the predictions. You got it wrong. I gave it 2.5. Maybe it was a 2.
Maybe I was going to say that's a bit generous. I feel it might be generous.
I just like that the fiery costume that Becky Lynch had.
I just think Becky's great. I think Becky's so good, and she's
really good.
I didn't do any research into this because I could do it better, but I'm wondering, I'd be so interested, I'll just look at Wikipedia. When was the last time Becky had a storyline?
That doesn't count. So she was ridden off television when the Riot Squad attacked her.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
She was like one of the first people to be attacked. They shut her in a door, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then she came back. And she got a great pop. And then she wasn't really used again.
I think it was Alexa Bliss. Before Alexa Bliss jumped over
to... the title, yeah.
Yeah, when she was kind of feuding with Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. I feel like that was the last time Becky Lynch had an actual story.
A year ago.
And the rest, yeah. Because that was like before... That was like in 2016.
Yeah. Do you want an interesting stat?
Oh, I'd love one.
So this is relating to the main event. The first SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view of the new brand split era, AJ Styles ended as champion.
Yeah, he won the belt, didn't he?
He won the belt. The last SmackDown pay-per-view of the exclusive pay-per-view of the brand split era, which is this one, AJ retained.
I wish you'd told me that before I did my video for Fastlane Rumours. I could have dropped that little fact in there.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. We should talk more.
Yeah. So this next match was actually one of my favourite parts of the show.
Loved, loved, loved this.
So it was the Usos versus the New Day. It's been built up out of nowhere, really. Just like 3 week build, and they were just thrown together after the New Day won a number one contenders match. And we were like, okay, great. They always have great matches. Excited to see it, but don't really care. But then, in the space of just 2 weeks, a couple of promos, they turned it into absolute fire.
Didn't they just? And they played the video package again that they played on Tuesday, and it just got me even more excited for this match. And this was exactly the match that I wanted it to match. I'm doing big air quotes for podcast listeners, that I wanted it to be, because it was them hitting each other's moves. It's, we know each other so well. This is the next stage of our evolution, is that we are hitting each other's moves. And I loved it. It felt so awesome. Mm. And then we got the brilliant ending to the match as well. Everything about this, I absolutely loved.
I think it wasn't so much them doing each other's moves because they know each other so well. I think it was a battle of respect now. Mm-hmm. Like, before, that it was quite a respectful feud between the two teams. They're just like, we tear it up every time we go in there. But that go-home promo, or maybe 2 weeks before. Yeah, it was 2 weeks before. It got personal. And this time it felt like they were trying to actively disrespect each other.
Interesting.
They weren't going for the noble respect route. They were trying to undermine each other.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I loved it. It was Kofi and Xavier in there. Big E was on the side. Big E cut a great promo backstage on the pre-show, actually. Mm-hmm. Just remembered that. Yeah, just another straight fire. Don't know why I keep saying fire. Just thinking about Becky Lynch's costume too much. But this was, hot opening exchange. The New Day using the Usos' splash finisher. And because they've both kind of got call and response chants, they could do it. So New Day to the Usos thing.
Usos did the boom drop and they hit the midnight hour.
That was really good.
Like, it was, I loved everything about this. Mm-hmm. And it sets up perfectly that WrestleMania match that we talked about on the prediction show that we thought might happen, which is the Usos, New Day, and the Bludgeon Brothers, where you replicate the success of DIY, Authors of Pain, and the Revival, where you got DIY and the Revival, these two warring teams working together to take on the bigger, badder team. So, and I'm now super excited for that match at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Especially if it's a ladder match.
It's not going to be a ladder match.
I don't want it to be.
No, that one doesn't need to be a ladder match. But oh, man, I'm so looking forward to it.
So usually when WWE build up something with so much anticipation, you're like, yeah, I really just want to see these two teams have a really great match. Like AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. You're going to feel cheated if that ends in a screwy finish when Baron Corbin interferes, right? Yeah. But I don't, for some reason, this just worked perfectly.
Yeah,
I think it was the severity and the seriousness of the beatdown afterwards, and the way they sold it through a few video packages afterwards.
Yeah.
So the Bludgeon Brothers come down after an Usos dive. Everyone's down on the floor. Bludgeon Brothers enter with music, with their hammers, and just kill everyone.
God, didn't they? They murderized both teams, like, just all over the show. There was attacking the Usos, and they were like body slamming the Usos on top of each other, and then Eric Rowan body slammed Luke Harper onto them, and then Eric Rowan goes to do this big splash, and Luke Harper pushes him down like an assisted splash. It just looked like it absolutely sucked for everyone involved, apart from the Bludgeon Brothers, who were just having the time of their lives, just throwing all these dudes around. It was so awesome. Yeah. And then it culminated in them, they were about to walk away.
I thought you were going to talk about the... they actually used the hammers as a weapon.
They did indeed, trying to put those hammers over. Mm. You got to, because they're awesome. But there was a spot when one of the Usos was like leaning up against the steps, and he swung at the hammer and they moved out of the way. Tom Phillips was great there. He was like, I'm so glad he moved, because like, he'd be dead. But it culminated as the Bludgeon Brothers were going to walk away and then realised, we probably could do a little bit more damage here. Grabbed the stairs and did the powerbomb spot to Xavier Woods. The crowd was so concerned, they chanted for tables, and the Bludgeon Brothers walked away. Mm. And booing because they didn't get a table spot.
And Xavier just laid there, selling it like he was glitching out.
I had this is going to be a bit of a revealing story to tell you. I haven't actually told you this one yet. Mm. I had a legit concern at one point, because Xavier is selling this thing like he was convulsing. It was an incredible sell job that, like, I was like, oh god, I really hope, like, I genuinely thought, god, I hope he's okay.
This is the same guy who once vomited to sell something in TNA, remember?
Yeah, I think that wasn't on purpose though.
Oh, do you think?
I think the story is that he just, like, he took it at such an angle that he threw up.
Yeah.
Is it the Amazing Red that he took that move off?
I can't remember. I think it was like a super kick to the throat, wasn't it?
No, it was. I think it was his sister Red. His sister Red. The Amazing Red, when he, like, people were on their knees and he used to do a Hurricane Run, a DDT right. onto people. I think that was the spot. But anywho, when I woke up at 5:30 this morning, Fastlane wasn't working on the network. It just, I'd play it and it would just like, no, it's not working. Video can't play back. And I'm like, something wrong with the PS4 app. So turn that off, put it onto my laptop. Won't work on my laptop either. I'm like, try it on my iPad. Won't work on there either.
Damn.
And I was like, so I had to watch it through other means because I had to in the end.
We subscribed to the network.
Yeah, so I had to watch it through other means. And then when I saw this spot and I saw the way that Xavier Woods was selling this and they were doing the big stretcher job, I suddenly thought, like, what if it's not working on the network because something really terrible has happened?
Oh,
and I had this genuine
God.
Like fear. I was like, okay, what are we going to do for the review? Or do we do a review? Like, what are we going to do for the Wrestle Ramble?
That's
like a horrible thought.
You worked yourself into a shoot, brother.
I worked myself into a shoot, brother. And then it was when the other means didn't work for the third part. So I was like, well, I'll check back on the network. Network worked fine. I was like, okay, everything's all right then.
Oh.
But I had this genuine sense of panic in myself that something terrible had happened.
The Bludgeon Brothers are so over with you. You thought they killed Xavier Woods. Brian Alvarez said on the Wrestling Observer review that it looked like Xavier took it really badly, that his head whipped back on the corner. I didn't see that. I thought he took it quite safely as safely as he can.
Yeah.
But yes, really good match. Well, it was a really good match for the time they were given. They couldn't have done any more. They told a really good story, and the angle afterwards was fantastic.
Awesome stuff.
I gave it 3.5, and we both... Well, you said Usos.
Yeah.
I said double DQ.
But why did you say double DQ?
Because you convinced me to say double DQ. You didn't say your own advice.
No, I know. I booked this really good storyline and then thought, WWE won't do that. But I'm an idiot for not thinking that.
And finally, because, that AJ Styles had a promo here, Nakamura comes in at the end and says, I'll retain.
I'll see you at WrestleMania. Yep.
And
that's two matches now on this WrestleMania card. Three matches now that I'm actually four. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania this year. I'm excited to see the Rousey match, just out of intrigue more than anything, I suppose. But I think the triple threat for the IC title will be really fun. I'm really.
You mean the eight way?
Whatever it's going to be. But as it currently stands, I'm excited for that triple threat match. Really excited for the SmackDown tag team match if that ends up being New Day, Usos, and the Bludgeon Brothers. Really excited for Nakamura, AJ, and Lesnar, Roman.
What? Are you?
The last time they had a match, it was great.
You are such a shill.
Such a shill for WWE.
So Charlotte Flair defended her WWE SmackDown Women's Championship next against Ruby Riott. I thought this was also okay.
I really enjoyed this match as well. I'm a big fan of both Charlotte and Ruby Riott, and I thought they did a great job in getting the crowd into the match. And it was really nice to see Ruby come down to the ring on her own, not flanked by the Riott squad. I think it actually made her look more legit, more impressive. And
they were down there with her.
No, she came down to the ring on her own, and then they jumped the barricade to support her. But I just thought it made her look really cool, just coming down on her own, being introduced on her own. And I thought they both worked together really well. I actually really enjoyed this match more than I thought I would do.
Riott has a great look. We said every week we were fans of her. It's just she's been booked into oblivion almost. But I thought she had a really good visual contrast with Charlotte, who's tall and tanned and blonde. And then there's Riott, who's a little bit shorter and her hair's dark and it's shaved and she's got tattoos and she's pale. It really looked like a clash of babyface versus heel.
It was.
I liked that.
And Ruby did some really cool spot where she kind of did this like falling back senton off the rope, which they said like it looks like a stage dive, which just works fine within her gimmick as well. I've really enjoyed a lot of this match. I thought it was really good.
It had a bit of an awkward ending where Logan and Morgan tried to interfere. This sent Lynch and Naomi, who had come down earlier, into the ring. Referee ejected Naomi
Lynch
from ringside.
I thought it was a really cool spot as well, because Morgan and Logan weren't getting into the ring, but they were teasing like they were going to. And Lynch and Naomi, like complete doofuses, thought they were going to. So just ran into the ring being like, I'll get out with you. So the referee ejected them. And it was like, what a brilliant master plan. Mm. But then the referee ejected them as well. So it was a really well-placed spot, because it's it looked like the heels were going to get one over on the baby faces, but then the referee ejected the heels as well. Got down to a one-on-one match, and Charlotte won with the figure eight.
I thought quickly afterwards.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a nice little ending sequence.
I thought it had a few more minutes left in it.
I thought after
the ejections from ringside, I would have liked to have seen quite a hot 5 minutes just between those two.
Yeah, I agree.
Charlotte won very quickly after
that. But we had to get that Roman Reigns video
package. Yes, of course. Sorry.
You keep saying...
It's a full-on 3 hours, this show.
You keep saying we need more time in these matches, but you forget we've got to plug Raw stuff on this SmackDown pay-per-view when they're...
They're great video packages.
They are great video packages, but these warring brands... have got to promote each other's shows. You forget that sometimes.
But that wasn't the only Raw things on SmackDown.
Speaking of Segway.
Segway! Asuka came down after this match and pointed at the WrestleMania sign.
And what a great moment this was. I really liked it.
Crowd was so into it, genuinely surprised and shouting. Although you kind of predicted this as well.
Yeah.
And didn't go with it. I guess there wasn't a prediction thing to put this in. It was great. My only criticism was Charlotte went between smiles, like, yeah, we're going to do this, to angry. And I was like, oh my God, the angry face is so much better for this.
Yeah, I think...
Be annoyed.
Yeah, I think she was almost corpsing a little bit, being like, oh God, this is a really cool moment. Mm. Because this is the match that Charlotte said she wanted at WrestleMania. She didn't really want to fight anyone else. She wants to fight, face Asuka, break the streak, and all that sort of stuff. It's a bigger match than they could probably put her against than anyone on SmackDown.
Yes.
Because as much as I love Becky Lynch, she's got zero momentum behind her at the moment. So this is a much bigger match. So it was just a really, really cool moment. The crowd were really into it. And I think that Charlotte just broke character a little bit. But yeah, so Asuka's now on SmackDown Live, and it will be the first time they've ever had a match together in WWE.
Is she now... How does this work? She's not on SmackDown Live.
I assume she is, yeah.
She can challenge for the title.
Well, the way I read it and the way I did it in the Fastlane review is that she's jumped brands to SmackDown.
I don't know how that works.
But there'd be no point in putting her on Raw because she can't feud with Charlotte on Raw.
Well, you keep them apart. One of the best things about when they were standing next to each other was like, oh my God, they've kept them apart all this time. And this feels really, really big. This feels big time right now when they stood next to each other. So really exciting stuff. So Fastlane, in all, really good main event. And two very good angles with Asuka turning up and the Bludgeon Brothers beatdown. And everything else was fine to fun.
Yeah, as I said on the prediction show, we were going into this with such low expectations that it had a very low bar that it needed to jump over, and it very much stepped over that bar.
They are the low bar,
and they did really well to step over it. I enjoyed the show.
WWE, you did it better.
I can't think of anything as smooth to bring us out of the Fastlane talk. That was as smooth as you going into the Fastlane talk.
Yeah, it was smooth. Segway. I'm the Segway king. Segway king. It's weird because that just happened for us. We just did the intro. Everyone else had like a 45-minute chunk of Fastlane in the middle.
They certainly did.
And so hopefully they remember what happened.
I would like to think so, yeah. I mean, because you and I were still giggling about that as the show sort of kicked in. So we had to, like, compose ourselves to do this second or to do the outro of this podcast.
An outro that includes iTunes reviews. So as the Winnie the Pooh song says, you know, comment on iTunes. So first up, we've done Stupid Good, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
So,
I've already pointed out to you which one we're doing. It's this one here.
Mullet Man. How many zeros is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So Mullet Man, 5,700,000. Favorite podcast ever. I've been listening to this podcast for about 5 months or so, and I've been subscribed to the channel for about 3 years or so.
Nice. Good work.
It's like is that pre-us?
Well, it might be certainly pre-me.
A Toyota Prius. I love Ollie and Luke's chemistry, and I recommend this podcast to any wrestling fans. Keep up the good work, guys. And there's only one word to describe WrestleTalk fans, and I'm going to spell it out for you. S-W-A-F-T. Swerft.
Thank you, Mullet Man. Is Mullet Man a bit like Muppet Man?
Potentially.
Yeah, but it's just a lot of people going together to make one big mullet.
Giant mullets, yes. And Kyle Rayner, who's Kyle? Oh, that's a Green Lantern reference.
Yeah.
Kyle Rayner Jr. writes, consistently consistent. Oh, thank you very much.
He's already just getting a round of applause already.
Title. Did I clap Mullet Man? Thank you, Mullet Man.
I think we did, yeah.
Hey, everybody, I'm Carl Rayner. Is that...
Maybe it's not a Green Lantern
reference.
Maybe
that's just his name.
That's just his name, mate.
Wow. You've got a cool name.
Is Carl Rayner a Patreon backer? I seem to recall that name.
I feel like he might be. But I don't know if I'm just remembering his name from all the Green Lantern comics since the 90s. Lifelong WWE fan saying support Wrestle Talk because they talk about wrestling and I like it.
That's the John Cena intro.
This is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do us all a favour and subscribe, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl, very much.
When I got my... Because I've stopped using the John Cena intro just because I felt like I'd use it quite a bit and I was getting complaints from some people. One person in particular who said that the thank you really, really annoyed him. Like every time he heard it, just made him go like, oh, God. Just makes me hate John Cena a little bit more.
I think it's okay when you see his face when he does it because he pulls quite a funny face.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What a nice guy.
Who would have thought John Cena would be divisive?
I was so nervous when I asked him to do that.
Yeah?
Like, so nervous.
I'm glad he did, because I would have straight up fired you.
Because I've never asked... Whenever I've done interviews, I've never asked someone to look at the camera and say, like, hey, this is whoever, can you subscribe to this channel? Or, like, you know, do a whatever. I've never asked someone to do that. I did, at one point, have this idea in my head. So... Before my wife and I got married, I had this sort of like long, I was a long game plan because I always knew I was going to marry this woman. So I had this very, very much long game plan that I was going to ask every single person I interviewed to just look at the camera and say, like, congratulations on your wedding day, Kate and Luke. And I was going to ask, like, do loads of these interviews so then I could play it at my wedding. All these famous people
that you're friends with,
that I'm clearly friends with, big inverted commas for podcast listeners, that saying congratulations to us. However, I never really had the bottle to do it, and then I just never did it. And then I got married to her, and it was a bit late to start doing
still
it.
Still time.
Maybe there is still time. Maybe I'll just say, like, hey, I'll do it for our first anniversary. Although my wife listens to this show, so she'll know those plans now.
Did she know she didn't know about this plan?
I don't think I ever told her about this plan, no.
Hey, I got, speaking of plans from girlfriends, you know I got a 30 days till I'm 30 present.
Yes.
I got a 20 days till I'm 30 present.
Nice. What did you get?
Week. It was a tray that goes in the bath so I can put stuff on the tray and read.
Yep.
Without getting my Kindle wet, or maybe the New Yorker.
Yep.
Maybe a glass of wine.
I forgot about your New Yorker subscription, your very expensive New Yorker
that
subscription.
That happened because I forgot to cancel the free trial. It arrives every week now. Always a nice front cover. Don't get much beyond that, but I like having it on the table.
It just looks super,
it looks
pretentious.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it looks lovely. So you might start framing them.
You can put your little glass of wine on there, maybe a scented candle.
Yep.
So you can really play your Barry Manilow.
Bath time, like me and Randy.
Bath time, Ollie Davis.
Yeah, so, I mean, the
toys
problem is...
separately.
I was really keen to do this as soon... Like, that evening, I ran myself a bath.
Yeah.
Had the flat to myself, you know.
Yeah.
Made it all nice. I put on my Kindle there, and... Then I'm like, oh, wait a second. I still need to turn the pages. So I still have to wipe my hand, press the next page. So in the end, I didn't put my hand under the water. I just had one weird arm like a T-Rex folded up underneath the tray to occasionally jab the Kindle to turn the page.
A bit more of an obscure reference. A bit like Quato from Total Recall. Remember, he's got like the big. Benny, when he reveals that he's a mutant. He's got the big old mangled arm.
Yeah.
A bit more of an obscure reference.
Yeah. T-Rex. T-Rex works fine.
T-Rex goes for people as well, yeah.
On that, Luke likes the 90s, by the way.
It is. 1990. Yeah, 1990.
There we go.
Just about.
Because if it was a year, if it was a day older. I mean, you love the 80s.
I do, but I like the mid to late 80s. Pretty much from like Ghostbusters onwards.
I've got out because all my friends are turning 30 this year as well. One of them has just announced it's going to be an 80s themed party because, of course, we were born in the 80s.
You were just about.
Just about 88. So, it's an 80s theme. What should I go as? I'll put that out to the podcast listeners.
Marty McFly.
No, it's got to be wrestling based.
Oh, you
want to
be? Oh, well, okay.
Ric Flair.
Andre the Giant.
Like, But that's just a singlet.
Happy birthday. I'm so happy to be here.
Can I? I want something warmer.
Yeah, okay.
Full on Ric Flair robe, but I'll go method Ric Flair on a plane, so just the robe.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if you want to go warm, Macho Man Randy Savage always had some nice jackets.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. All feathery.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the Macho King.
And then your lady partner could go as Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, that's a good. Get a sparkly dress on her. That's a good idea. She won't do that, though.
No.
She'll probably just wear leg warmers. So, that's all we've got time for. We'll be back on Wednesday with our Raw versus SmackDown review.
Sorry, I didn't realize you were kicking over to me. I thought you were going to say other stuff.
No, that's it. That's my part done.
Sorry, I started...
Signing off.
I started rereading an
go
email.
Go home, brother. I'm sending you the go home.
Love you. Bye.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.